Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. This is Doug. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm so darn excited that the top of my head blew off when Trump wrote the new executive order. I've been waiting for a year and preaching this stuff and actually had practically written down the same exact things in here. And you have been waiting 17 years to get justice on these very issues. This is going to be an exciting conversation because I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this executive order. Plus, on a very rare occasion, I pull out my pen and I write things down, and I have completely taken this executive order apart and want to address it point by point, because that's what so many of our readers, listeners have asked us to do. And who better to do that than with the man who came up with the invention that they call social media? So what do you think about this new executive order, Michael?
You pretty much said it. I'm excited. I think finally someone in the government, other than a co-conspirator with Facebook and the other tech crowd in Silicon Valley, is actually paying attention to a substantive subject and not allowing 10,000 lawyers to dance on the head of a pin to try to justify all their illegalities.
So true. And you have spent 17 years, 20 years now, I guess it is, fighting with lawyers, fighting some of the top dogs in this country who go around stealing patents, weaponizing them, giving them to cardboard cutouts in Silicon Valley. And then these idiots make billions of dollars, and then they twist it because they're a corporation. A corporation is higher than a person in America, according to the court, and they are not culpable to basically anything. So the corporation just simply dissolves or bankruptcy or whatever, but it's okay. They can kill millions of people on the way, and no one is held responsible. So I say that this executive order is very clear. This is the fight for free speech that we were fully engaged in, trying to help Europe and the European Union and Britain to stop George Soros's fact checkers. And we gave out the whole list of the fact checkers and where the money came from and who it went to. But sorry, too late. There is no free speech left in the European Union. And in Britain is a perfect example. Even your Gmail account is monitored by subroutines they call artificial intelligence, which is a lie, but they're monitored by subroutines. And if you say something against a Muslim, you can be put in jail for what you thought was a private communication on Gmail, which of course is an Eric Schmidt, Google, YouTube, Google Earth. And remember, he jumped out, didn't he? And when he jumped out, when Eric Schmidt jumped out, and by the way, he's mentioned in this executive order, not by name, but by deed. When he jumped out, so did Facebook, the owners of these companies, right? They all took their money out. And for instance, Peter Thiel took his money out and put his money in a new company because they knew that the first company was fraudulent. And the reality here is, and it's going to come up in this executive order if we go through it point by point, the IBM Eclipse Foundation stole Leader Technologies, inventions, IP, whatever you want to call it.
Trade secrets.
And what did they do with them? They say they made them open source. And as you just pointed out, and this is so beautiful, and you've pointed this out to me before, but it didn't really strike home. Every person who used that stolen material had to write a disclaimer saying it wasn't theirs, including the people who stole it. So they simply say, it's not ours, it's open source. And because it's open source, you can't sue anybody because we're not ever going to tell you that who stole it or why they stole it. Who stole it was the Highlands Forum, DARPA, InQtel, because remember, the internet was DARPANET before it was the internet. It was a military weaponized communication system. And so what we see here is the repeat of what happened in Europe and in Britain is happening in America. We already told you the Atlantic Council, George Soros, through the Digital Forensic Research Lab, had already brought this to Google, had already brought it to Facebook. $1.5 billion for the one for Facebook from the Atlantic Council and George Soros was brought before the 2018 election. But we already know, and you are going to show us and tell us today about a guy and other people these GSA contracts. Hillary Clinton had a GSA contract where she spent taxpayers' money to have a guy in India who was a Russian write a program called The Template for Winning the Election. And it was used for algorithmic changes to support Hillary and to put Trump down. It was used for a lot, all these lies, for all the supposed Russian interference, which wasn't Russian at all. It was used. We, the taxpayers, paid the government, what's the GSA, the Government Service Agency, I think it's called, which you're going to mention in a minute. We, the people, they took our tax dollars to use for Hillary Clinton's DNC attack against all conservatives, not just Trump, all conservatives, which basically means against our Constitution and our republic. Free speech is on the line. That's what's being battled. We've been battling it since free speech was taken away from the European Union and Britain and other places throughout the world through the internet. And as we go through this, we're going to explain a lot of things to you that you might not know, because this document has in it almost everything that I would have wished was in it. I never imagined such a document could be written. So you started the ability for social media to do exactly what all the positive things in this executive order state, which is to have a platform for free speech, for dialogue, for uncensored interaction between differences of opinions. But now, because Trump's tweet has been censored as fact checkers, and now the fact checkers have been found to be wrong on the very first time they used it on the president, and now they deleted one of his tweets, which of course is a public record that's already gone to the higher courts, and they said everything that the president tweets is part of his library. It's part of the public domain. You can't delete it. And so they said that the people who wrote nasty remarks underneath Trump tweets couldn't be deleted because it is an executive document which has to be preserved in the National Registry. This is a law. This isn't speculation. So now my question, deep question to you would be, why would Jack Dorsey, why would Mark of the Zucker Beast, why would Eric Schmidt want these companies taken down? Because it looks like they've all put their heads on the chopping block on purpose, according to what rational logic would determine from what you can see from their actions. So why would they do that, Michael?
Because they want to replay the story that we've seen a number of times during our lifetime, and that is when monopolies get too big and too powerful, they're broken up. And we saw this with the Standard Oil breakup, and then we saw it again with the AT&T breakup. But in the long view of history, what we are actually seeing is a plan whereby the robber barons at the turn of the century developed monopolies and then profited from the breakup of the very monopolies that they created, because they created, let's say, Standard Oil, then they broke it up into regional oil companies, and then those oil companies began trading and putting in executives. And as we can now see from the record of history in the archives, they just started taking their executives from the monopoly, putting them into the baby systems, and then grew those. And so they just created another liquidity opportunity for the very thing that they were doing. And then, as we now see with AT&T, it's all back. They've all reformed the regional bells back into a AT&T monopoly. So it's familiar territory to these oligarchs. And so that's what they want now. They realized that they would eventually get there. And now that they're here, they want to be broken up. They're raising their hands. They're screaming, break us up, break us up. Why? Because they'll make a lot more money.
Wow. And, you know, I knew that about Standard Oil, but when you had pointed this out with why we had said over a year ago that it looks as if these Silicon Valley cardboard cutout fake people who are actually taking stolen patents, working them through DARPA and InQtel and Highlands Forum, and creating fake corporations that make more money than anyone in history has ever made. So when we start to see this, and we said, we don't understand, why are they becoming kamikaze pilots? Why are they destroying their company because it's a fraud. As you have pointed out, it is a fraud. They really don't want the truth to come out. And if Trump can't bring the full truth out. If the full truth was known from what we have revealed in Americans for Innovations reports and intelligence reports from Aim for Truth and the Anonymous Patriots, what we have revealed is the most treasonous, traitorous international crime against America, the U.S. Constitution. And when you look at this executive order, in the first paragraph, it simply states free speech is under attack and the First Amendment.
Hey, Douglas, can I challenge something you just said? You said he can't bring out the truth. I don't think that's true, because I think that until the truth is brought out, we will not have a good foundation to form a solution. So I understand the logic is that that people can't handle the truth. That famous line from what movie was that? I can't remember the name of the movie.
I can see him saying it. You can't handle
Handle the truth. Well, the fact is the American public can handle the truth. And this idea that you can't is in fact a fabrication of these people to justify them continuing their lies. And I think until we get to the point where we recognize that this is the country of we the people, and the people not only it cannot be shielded from real truths so that they can make real decisions, we're going to continue to have these kabuki theater activities like the powers that be right now are attempting to foist upon us. And when you talk about the executive order, I agree. It was really well written and the topics are great. The real challenge I think that the administration has going forward is going to be not allowing this document to run headlong into the paper shredder called the senior executive service, where we still see, even in President Trump's cabinet, people who I consider to be saboteurs. And including, as it turns out, this acting director of the Office of Management and Budget, Russell T. Vogt, because in preparing for this interview, I realized that this gentleman went to George Washington University, which is where Professor Chandler had started the Computer Law Institute, and which is a chief advisor to the CIA. And discovered a document that he wrote just in May of last year, where he outlines a complete instruction for how the public key infrastructure, the encryption system, is going to be handled. And then I looked at his resume, and he's nothing but a political hack. That's the only jobs he's had coming out of his JD at George Washington University. So I'm very concerned that the Office of Management Budget has already walked into the buzzsaw, and they're ready and waiting for this data so that they can figure out how to manipulate it.
Oh, absolutely. Later in the document, we're going to talk about the Office of Management Business and his command to them, which is, tell me every penny we pay these jerks, because I'm going to consider stopping it. Now, to go back to your remark, you're right. I need to qualify what I said. Sometimes, you know, I'm always right, of course, as you know, because I'm a guy, right?
You're on a roll.
So I just have to qualify my, here's my qualification.
Sorry, I misunderstood what you said. My apologies.
Well, it's so nice of you to admit my mistake. Now, here's the deal. One third of humanity probably is ready to hear the truth. Two thirds of humanity aren't. Unfortunately, we need 50% to win an election. So we got to work really hard to bring this truth to people. And we have, and some people get it. The top echelon get it. We know they get it because they respond to us and tell us they get it. So we are really, in a way, what we're stating here is for those people who are awake, as they say, you already took the red pill, and you are ready to handle the fact that free speech is under attack. There are people who would laugh at that remark. Two-thirds of humanity in America would initially laugh at that remark, and they'd go, well, then you weren't the free. Who cares about free speech? You shouldn't say anything bad anyway. That's what almost 90% of the people say. I don't care if Facebook steals my secret information. I shouldn't have anything that's bad to steal anyway. That's what 90% of the sheeple out there will say. Now, in the second paragraph of this, I'm not sure that two-thirds of humanity are ready for what he just said. He just said, and I'll quote, "In a country that has long cherished the freedom of expression, we cannot allow a limited number of online platforms." Stop right there. Limited number. Every word in here that Bill Barr and Trump, because you can hear Trump's voice in this, you can hear Bill Barr's voice, it had to be tight. I believe they've been working on this document for a year. Matter of fact, the lamestream media states that they had this a year ago, a rough draft of it, and they said that they had it even before he announced it. CNN had a copy of it. Well, that's because he's been saying all this openly. Let's remember he invited Jack Dorsey, Eric Schmidt, Mark of the Zucker Beast, and all of the rest of the Silicon Valley imbeciles into his private office and literally, in some cases, had dinner with them in the room next to the Oval Office to tell them and warn them what he was about to do. But they wouldn't stop because they want their companies to die. So what does he say? What does he really mean? Limited number. There's no limited number of online platforms. So what he's saying is, oh, a limited number has become a monopoly. So he's basically stating, and he does early, later on, states that there is a monopoly antitrust RICO actions happening here. And that when he says limited number and that they're censoring, it's why are they censoring? Because of the issue that has always been brought up. The issue is the Commerce Act decency in broadcasting, particularly Section 230, which is talked about extensively, both in this document, in this executive order, and in what Bill Barr and Trump said. So they said that this limited group, this monopoly, was censoring opinions, and that they are supposed to be acting as a passive bulletin board. Therefore, they're protected from being sued like a normal publisher would be, because they're just a platform. But the minute that they start censoring, they are now a publisher. So get this in your mind. This is, they're public if they're a platform and they're protected. If they're a private publisher, they are not protected. They will be sued from now until the end of time or until they don't exist anymore. And that's what they want. But that's not going to be what happens. That's what they wanted. They want to be closed down. And you can now, when you go to paragraph three, which is actually kind of paragraph four, you get the real truth. And the real truth is anybody that goes on the internet or anywhere, they actually define it at the end of the document. But anyone who goes on a platform or a public square or anywhere that they can share their opinion is now under control of who? People don't know this. All broadcasting in America is controlled by not the Federal Communications Commission, not the Commerce, not the Federal Trade Commission. No, it's controlled by the President of the United States and the Department of Defense. All broadcasting. So if you in any way go into the internet, which in a minute we need to explain to people that we the people own the internet, this document calls into question all of the deepest questions all the way back to the IBM Eclipse Foundation, theft of the patents that led to this nonsense and this weaponization of DARPANET, because that's what it was. It was DARPANET before it was the internet. And when they say no one owns it, that's a lie. We paid for it to be installed. We pay for it to be maintained. And the Office of Management and Budget is going to point that out to Trump. Because Trump doesn't know. How would he know all the details of every expenditure in America? You can't know.
Well, we need to make sure that they do, because it doesn't appear like this man's a friend.
So if they're a bulletin board, then free speech is protected for everyone, not for who they want it to be protected for. So if you, in any way, if I get on a ham radio, and recently they closed down all the ham radios, basically, they made sure there were no rogue stations in the ham radio field. Why? Because if you share anything and you broadcast it, it cannot be promulgating propaganda of our enemies. Otherwise, you must file, and that's what he's saying here, and he says later on, all these groups that support the Chinese Communist Party must file as foreign agents. That's what they took Michael Flynn down on. That's what they took Manafort down on. They didn't take the Podesta brothers, but that's what they always use as their last-ditch attempt. If you don't file as a foreign agent, and that's what they are, because they're promoting Chinese, they're promoting President Xi's version of coronavirus instead of the National Institute of Health or the CDC or the president or anybody else. In other words, they become enemies of the state, and that is propaganda. So you cannot broadcast propaganda in America unless the Department of Defense has screened it through the Board of Broadcasting Governors. We've gone over this quite a bit. It isn't the FCC. The FCC sells bandwidth. Who's going after these people is the Department of Justice for basically criminal activity, which I'll explain in a minute, but also the Federal Trade Commission and the and Commerce, because this is monopoly, it's RICO, it's tax evasion, it's security violations, it's violations of the user agreement, and every state is going to get in on this, just as already five or six countries have gotten in on tens of billions of dollars of fines, not court cases, fines. And that's what's going to really take these people down. And that's why you don't even get past paragraph three until Trump basically wins the argument, wins the day. And then what does he do? He names them by name. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, which is Google, wield immense, if not unprecedented, power to shape the interpretation of public events. And then they have the gall to censor, delete, and disappear, which means demonetize, deplatform, censor, fact check. And this happened to over 50,000 conservative sites. We watched them all die. And then at the end of the sentence, just to make sure that he tells them he's in control, he says, and to control what people see or do not see. Do not see is the algorithms of Eric Schmidt, Google, Yahoo, and everyone else, because he mentioned search engines here as part of this deal. And he says that the search engines, if they don't give you the information you're searching for, they are in fact criminals.
Hey, and Douglas, let me bring something.
A simple criminal act.
Let me put something on the table here, because we talk about these companies as if they're private and independent. But when we look at their actual history, that they were all formed out of the Highlands Group DARPA weaponization program. We're not talking about private companies. We're talking about government entities that have been given branded private names, but that doesn't mean they're private. And why, I ask you a question. Why do you think this fact has not yet reached the public consciousness?
I agree completely with you, Michael. And as we looked at the 5th paragraph, we saw that Trump then now had absolute power. When you look at the 5th paragraph, you see that he actually defines it. And what is he defining? He's saying that there is a war in the cyber zone, in the virtual realm, and this war is against the U.S. Constitution, which he states up front, we the people, free speech, and these, what did he call them? Limited number. And then he named a few of them. So what he's saying is he is securing the ability, as he points out in the next paragraph, for national discourse. If you stop national discourse, that is a national security issue. Okay.
Okay, but let me bring up this subject again, because I'm not getting something here. Because we're on the one hand, we're making arguments that certain private company, this executive order makes arguments that certain private companies are not following the Constitution and our free speech laws. But the fact is, what we're really talking about is the intelligence agencies are controlling our speech. And so we've got the government talking to the government. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, I agree with that, especially from the genesis of all of this. It was nothing but right. The government, and these idiots didn't even know what they were doing. Anyone that could believe Elon Musk has invented anything besides maybe a new way to butter toast, or that Mark Zuckerberg could write a line of code, or that Bill Gates is intelligence, they themselves are a fool.
So is this a kabuki theater that we're looking at here? I'm trying to get to the bottom line. I'm an engineer, remember? And the things just not making sense for me is how we have all these eloquent arguments about free speech and about people's rights to free speech based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And we now know that all of these companies were created by the intelligence community and given branded names to fool the public. And now we're saying these fake companies are now not following the law. I mean, it's weird.
Well, that's because you have the curse of knowing the truth. And it is a curse. You know the truth. And the truth is that Trump may never get, he certainly may never be able to publicly let the truth out because the truth is so horrifying. The truth is it continues to this day. And here is the worst truth in this document. It shows that he knows, but he can't say. And who is he referring to when he comes down here and he says, He says that they're working with basically the Chinese, not only for imprisonment of religious minorities, but he specifically says research partnerships in China that provide direct benefits to the Chinese military.
So what he's saying is our intelligence community is working with the Chinese. That's what this is really saying. Not these fake names are working with the Chinese. Our intelligence organizations are working with the Chinese government. That's what this is saying. So where is this going to go?
Our corporate intelligence is working with China, and here's why. As you
not corporate. No. Not corporate. These aren't corporations. These are government entities. That's the thing we have to realize. We're never going to get to a fix if we keep asking. It's like the right hand asking the left hand to cut the right hand. I'm not sure what this is, but it's not logical.
When James Baker, what's the guy's name who runs the Office of Net Assessment now, who testified before the Congress, they didn't ask him any of these questions now, did they? Because this is Black Ops. So we're talking about DARPANET is Black Ops. So who is going to know this? Who is going to know what was in Vault 7?
People who read all of our writings and the research of the conclave and the researchers with the American intelligence, we've been putting this out for years.
I know we have, and I know that we're frustrated. We are so frustrated because we wonder if anybody's listening. But I
agree. I agree with Michael. It's time to stop all of this mamby-pamby. Oh, it's a company, and we need to put it out of business and all this. This is the government doing this to us.
To us.
And they're sitting there writing executive orders that are absolutely nonsensical when you really look at the truth of the matter.
That's right. You can't. I'm not sure what construct this is from a standpoint of writing, but it's convoluted, and it's assuming things that aren't true about the nature of these companies. They're not private; they're government entities, but they're what do you call them? Unauthorized government entities, but you're saying because they're black ops with DARPA, they are authorized in one sense. So I think until our government stops playing these games with us, we're never going to fix this. And while I am really encouraged by this, because you mentioned it earlier, in this executive order is a request for information about all of the contracts that have been let to Facebook, Google, YouTube and the like by federal agencies. And that is a specific request we made in the Miller Act notice so we could value the level of damages that we have incurred by the government's contracting with these companies, i.e. with itself. So they've created all this value, all this revenue to these organizations, which are the government. Okay, this is weird. And now we're asking that group to pay us back and give us the information about the contracts that it already knows it has with all these fake entities. I'm not saying this well, but
no, you're preaching to the choir with me. I agree with everything you and Betsy just said, and I get just as worked up. I just usually scream when I'm not on microphone. I scream so loud you can hear me down where you live, and I get very upset about this because yes. The lie within the lie within the lie. But let me give you an example. when President John F. Kennedy gave a speech saying he was going to disassemble the CIA and cast it to the winds, they killed him. Who killed him? The head of the CIA that he fired, Alan Dulles, refused to be fired. Now, let me give you an example, which you have recently brought to us, which is one of the most profound things that I have heard in a long, long time. You have a witness who gave a deposition that you were somehow part of that said that she was in Highlands Forum meetings, the DARPA and Qtel control group, the Office of Net Assessment, which should be closed down immediately, what's his name, Dick O'Neill and the whole gang, and the original founder of Marshall, what was his first name? Andrew Marshall.
Andrew W. Marshall.
Yep. Okay. Those people are pure evil. They kill people for sport. They think it's a game. Okay. Now, who showed up in that meeting one day?
Tony Fauci.
Little Nazi Fauci. And what did Fauci show up? Because it's a, that's where the bioweapons are planned. So he had to show up because he's the master of bioweapons in America. And he's the one who farms to all the P4 biolabs throughout the world to do the research in these horrifying retroviruses, which are bioweapons. And then they give it all back to him. He is the
let's add to that information the fact that his specific topic was how to use nanobots in bio warfare. That's why they had him there.
Which people say to me, oh no, all of your ideas are wrong because it isn't passed technically from human to human. Well, first off, that's questionable. Second off, it wasn't. It was put in probably some kind of nanotubes and put in water, food, and an aerosol form. And it was sprayed over the same exact area. So three times Wuhan, a certain district, was attacked by this. So when we're talking about this, the IBM Eclipse Foundation, basically all that we know in our modern time, our modern life, is based upon the theft of IBM, theft of Leader Technologies. What shall we call it? Trade secrets.
Our trade secrets.
There's many names for this.
Invention, trade secrets.
Now, I want to get really upset, but I'm not going to scream because Betsy tells me that it doesn't come through when I scream. But if I could scream, I would scream IBM Open Power Foundation. Why? Because when Kissinger and the rest of the gang, Eric Schmidt and Zuckerberg and the whole gang went over and gave China everything they wanted, and that's in this document. By the way, it's in the executive order. It mentions Dragonfly, and it mentions this Chinese social credit system being given to China by an American. That would be Eric Schmidt. We've already pointed this out. They just renamed it. Eric Schmidt said he gave it to them, but it wouldn't be able to be applied for years, and it would never happen in America. Sorry, it's already happening in America, and it's more than happening in China. They've already killed over a million Uyghur Muslims with it. So it's in this very document that they're saying these people conspire with the Chinese against America. Now, how do we know that? The IBM Open Power Foundation is basically IBM Eclipse Foundation 2.0. They went to China and they said, if you want to do any business with the up and coming number one world power, China, because that's how Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and the rest of the presidents all gave our power to China, then you must come underneath our open source foundation, the IBM Open Power Foundation. Now, listen, the Chinese are so stupid, they literally put in the names of things the One Belt, One Road. They're going to take off their belt and they're going to beat you until you get on the road that goes to Peking. I mean, come on. So Open Power Foundation, everyone, and this is where I'm going to start yelling, everyone who does any business with China, in the agreement, you and your researchers have already pointed out, they say that the Chinese Communist Party is in control of everything and can break every rule of every agreement ever signed, period. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but they have the Chinese version of the Queen's Golden Share.
Exactly. And, oh, better than that, technology transfer, IP theft, you have to put it in their open source code before you can work with them.
Of course.
Called Open Power Foundation.
That's the 10,000 lawyers dancing on the head of a pin, because when I saw these references to contracts where they want to see the contracts that these social groups have cut with the government. One of the things you and I have talked about before is they should specifically look at their representations and warranties clause in those agreements. And what I was motivated to do was go back and look at some of the earlier GSA contracts. And there is, in fact, a specific contract that was announced by the federal government with Facebook in April, right before our trial, that the GSA cut with Facebook. So this is in addition to the Hillary contract that we discovered from Judicial Watch later that year in September. But in April, the GSA specifically says in a press release that they cut an agreement with Facebook. Well, bottom line, the government is legally not allowed to interfere in a patent litigation, especially when it involved Facebook, the very company that they're cutting the deal with. And that's what they did as we were preparing for trial. And by the way, this was at the same time they shifted out the judge and put in the crooked Leonard P. Stark to take his first case at trial in our case, and then blocked us from doing discovery. So, I mean, there were so many anomalies. But we've got this federal contract with the GSA and Facebook, and actually part of that contract was available on a whistleblower website, went and looked at it, and specifically these contracts all have a, instead of a representations and warranties, a normal clause which says you have right and title and interest to the product you're offering me, they specifically have a disclaimer that says we don't claim any rights to anything we're giving you. I mean, what fool would buy a product like that? If they were buying a car, they wouldn't buy that. But with software, it's all unseen. You click right by that license and they get away with it. Well, specifically, there's this disclaimer clause. And then that piqued my memory. And I went back and looked at the draft contract that IBM Eclipse Foundation circulated to all their members in 2002. And sure enough, there is a provision that says if you're going to offer the code that we're giving you at the IBM Eclipse Foundation, you have to disclaim that IBM, that nobody in this organization claims to have any ownership of the software that they are providing to you. And that has that fraud has continued to this day. So therefore, everything they're offering is fraudulent, and these people know it. They know it's fraudulent. So that's why they've probably said, well, I've ridden this horse and it's going to die. So that's why I want to jump off and jump on some new fresh horses with a breakup, because they've known all along they were criminals.
And we've said that all along. And we predicted this all along, predicted almost exactly this, to the point that it's ridiculous. And now we know that George Soros and Arabella are actually providing the new money under a new title to do the fact checking. And the fact checking comes down to, like Snopes, one person is going to fact check the president. They fact checked the president and found out the president was right and their fact checker was wrong, and so they had to put in a disclaimer afterwards. Now, when you go to IBM Open Power Foundation, which will not insinuate anything Chinese in it whatsoever, it clearly states up front exactly what you just said. Complete disclaimer that anything you do with them is theirs.
Well, that's different. That's a different thing. That's on your content. They want you in these agreements, in these user license agreements, to claim that you have title and interest to the information that you put up on their platform, but there's no reciprocal clause. In fact, it's just the opposite. They say we disclaim any ownership of anything we provide to you. And then in addition to that nonsense, I want to go back to this Russell T. vote, because one of the things he did in June 10th of 2019 is he sent a letter to Congress and a committee headed by Mike Pence and asked for a 2-year delay on the ban that prohibits the U.S. government contractors from using Chinese Huawei. So this guy asked for a delay. Why are we delaying? Well, they said, well, it might be difficult and cause them problems with their business, and it may cause them some problems. So, okay, fine, let's delay it. Well, that's a lackey. That is not a guy thinking for himself. So he's either in on it or he's ignorant. But either way, it's not good for us.
Yeah, the first one. He got his payoff, and so he's just being true to his paymasters. And this man is the guy who gives out the lease contract each year for the PKI encryption codes for the internet, and he gives them to who? Hillary Clinton and Chertoff and other evil people, but essentially to Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton has access to military, corporate, almost everything on the internet. It's just unbelievable. Now, that is in your revelation that brought that out, that Russell Vought, whatever you say his name, basically is a one man in control of what the president sees. And so that's the reason the president doesn't believe in the intelligence agencies, because they don't provide him what he needs. Now, you have to literally include the intelligence agencies because they've now become pundits on lamestream media. So you have to include Clapper and Brennan and Comey and McCabe and all of them. They have gone over to lamestream media. So when in this document, it is implied that any broadcast is what he's talking about. Any broadcast. That means even editorial broadcasts, not just news broadcasts. So Facebook, Twitter, and all of those. Sorry, you have to lump the media in there too. So we've been saying that Avid and ISIS management drives the media. And that it is the very things that they say that they're going to stop, which is deleting content, deceptive or pretextual actions, stifling free and open debate by censoring certain viewpoints. Hello, mainstream media, except for a little bit of Fox News, is nothing but demon rats. They're nothing but Democrats. They are nothing but an extension of the Democratic National Committee. So when we're looking at this, this goes all the way back to anybody who is disseminating or broadcasting. That literally means the people who gave the five news agencies the Russian dossier because they were broadcasting. That includes Fusion GPS can no longer broadcast and think they can get away with it. So these opposition research groups actually fall underneath this when it all falls out. DARPA falls underneath this because in here it says that the internet is a forum. It's not a forum. It's as you say, it's controlled by the military. It's controlled by the government.
It's a propaganda mechanism for universal spying. That's what it is. That's what it's doing. And it happens to have a utility, which is what Betsy is always saying, that even despite all of the evil things that these guys did with our technology, it's still useful to people. And that's what I think is the flip side of this coin. And what we're trying to get to, we're trying to get back to what it was designed to do. But what these guys know, without question, is they have spent 100 years building this global platform. You remember the Snowden revelation of the Project Echelon in the mid-70s. That's when the decision was made to start spying on Americans. This was a very concerted effort to combine cable, wireless, satellite, media, propaganda, mind control into a global platform so that it could be centrally managed. That's what these guys know. When we came along, we went underground, we developed a software platform for this technology that wasn't in their control because they didn't know about it until we'd already built it. And that became a problem for them, which they ended up finessing through this the Facebook scam lawsuit, Facebook lawsuit that they scammed, and during the litigation, what we noticed was a lot of very odd behavior among the Facebook lawyers and the attorney. And when Facebook changed their claims, we were killing them in the prep to the trial, in the Markman hearing, which if you're a patent attorney, you'll know about. Our attorneys decimated Facebook's claims. So we were on a roll, and it was that right then that Obama began the process to change the judge in the case, and this would have been Holder as well. And because they knew what they were protecting, this plan to for propaganda, for mind control, for surveillance, and for great money making. So they had a lot of things to protect. And that's why they were going to make sure that by hook or crook, we weren't going to win this lawsuit. Well, as it turns out, our attorneys were so good, even amidst of all that controversy and roadblocking that occurred, we still proved on 11 of 11 claims that Facebook is infringing our patent. Then they started making up stuff to give them a partial win, which we moved right up to the Supreme Court. And then we find out all the judges in our case had mountains of Facebook interests, and that the hundreds, if not thousands, of mutual funds who invested in the Facebook IPO all knew what was going on. They all knew that this was a setup, but they were all going to cash in on these propaganda games that they had been playing for over 100 years. I mean, even back to the Rothschilds using carrier pigeons to learn about the victory of the British. And what we are experiencing now is the end result of a very long trek, and these people are not going to go out lightly, I don't believe. But you're right, this is the first solid salvo we've seen in our government since we got involved in all this relative to protecting our patent. So it's exciting in one way, it's confusing in another. And if it's confusing for me, I gotta believe it. The average American thinks, how can I sort this out? But I think until we get down to the issue of who owns the technology that they're talking about here, which is social networking, they will not solve the problem until they fix the problem with us. We proposed what we think is a very creative solution to this, whereby we license to the executive the ongoing license for the use of social media, and then the executive can then take that license and start telling these people how they're going to start fulfilling the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and stop all of this abuse of power and influence that has been the standard fare.
So true. And that's what you meant, I think, earlier about the full truth. If the full truth really came out, this could be solved.
And, yes.
But you'd have to start over again, basically, because from the beginning, it was meant to be a fraud. From the beginning, it was a DARPA psyops.
Right.
It was a defense bioweapon. It was an attempt to see how far they could go for behavioral modification, for basically brainwashing.
Right.
Remember that before the internet, there was the dark net, and that was to catch criminals. It was basically to take a weaponized DARPA net and say, oh, anybody who wants to can get on this. And what happened? Criminals got on it, and they used it to catch criminals. But to catch the criminals, they had to become criminals. So the very child pornography sites that they caught the criminals on were created by the government. This is how complicated and weird.
Yeah, that's the excuse they always give for every one of their criminal activities. They always give something that sounds good. So on the surface, well, okay, it's okay. If they're going to really get the bad guys, then we understand that they have to kind of step down to that level. But when we, in fact, realize they're organizing that level and they actually organize the people that they're complaining about, then we start seeing the whole thing's kabuki theater. We've had 140 years of kabuki theater relative to communications and the control of communications to control humanity. And then we got the political layer on top of that, where these people have all gone left of Karl Marx. And we now realize that is because when the British Empire was fading in the late 1800s, they hatched a plan. Andrew Carnegie and Cecil Rhodes had similar ideas of an Imperial British Federation to replace the monarchy going forward. And part of that effort was to unify their control of communications throughout the world. At that time, they had cable, underground cable through the oceans. And that was 1850s, by the way. It's a long time ago. And then 50 years later, they wireless came into being, and then TV. And at each stage, these people seized control of the mechanisms for these technologies and intentionally created monopolies. It was an intentional act because they wanted one person, them, their controller, to be able to throw the switch on all this technology. And they also wanted to weaponize it so that they could use wireless technologies in biowarfare. That is clear now. We can see that from their writings back 100 years ago. This isn't new information. And people like this recently indicted Harvard professor, Charles M. Lieber, who's a nanotech professional, is just the latest in the weaponization of this technology to allow 5G to trigger nanobots and nanotubes that contain all sorts of pathogens that are going to take us out. This isn't new. They've been at this for 100 years. And more and more information is coming out. We're very confident of this perspective. So when we talk about propaganda, which is what the president's executive order is about, that's one element of what these guys are up to. And it's an important element. But we have to realize that the reason they've gotten away with this is because of propaganda and mind control, which they've used technology to achieve. So with Facebook, with social networking, they got a twofer. They got a tool they can make a lot of money on, and they could also tighten their surveillance as they began to even store the DNA profiles of individual citizens. So when we see all those DNA ads on TV, run, because these guys are going to use that information to have tailor-made bioweapons tailored just for you. So when you say you don't have anything to give up, yes, you do. You have your life to give up if you continue to let these people get away with this plan. And how do we fix it? We take away their money. And that's where the president not only has a bully platform, but he's got very strong powers in the executive orders to, and we've got a constitution and a Bill of Rights that are supposed to protect us if we just follow them. And so the president has an opportunity, and I hope we've added to that by the Miller Act notice, to completely turn the tables on this very sad story that has gone on for 140 years by our elected officials and robber barons who have teamed up long ago to use the mechanisms of power, whether it be financial or governmental, to take control of our lives. And I didn't sign up for that. And I don't believe as an American, I should put up with it. And I hope that the American citizenry will use its power of numbers to stop this.
You're so right. From the beginning, it was defraud. It was fraudulent. It was misrepresentation, every speck of it. It was disinformation. Unfortunately, one Black Ops project doesn't know what the other is doing. Remember when Tony Fauci went to the Highlands Forum meeting where DARPA and NQTEL meet? He tried to pass out the current flu shot to everyone there, knowing that it kills people. So here he is in a meeting with the people who were planning to kill people, and he's running his evil little thing of offering them a flu shot. He's going to give them himself. He's going to shoot him up himself right there on the spot. But he didn't take that flu shot, but he wants to see how many die because that's part of his experiment.
Well, this person said some of them did, Douglas,
yes,
in that meeting. Even though they didn't know who he was at the time, they still took it.
Yes, but that's my point. One Black Ops doesn't know what the other's doing, and they certainly don't tell the president. So as we're going on with this, this is kind of a theater, because on the outer surface, it's going to look to the demon rats that this is nothing more than changing Twitter and Facebook from a platform to a publisher, and they might get sued. No, that's not what it's about. This is the ability in this to disassemble the entire intelligence community that has been turned into a weaponized propaganda machine, including the Silicon Valley social media cardboard cutouts, as well as everything on the government that uses these sites. So remember, there's only one thing you can stop: obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, excessively violent, harassing, or otherwise objectionable material. Anything else is squelching free speech. he's going to enforce that, and he's going to expand 203 or either drop it. If he expands it, it's going to go after anyone who's deceptive, uses pretextual information or inconsistent, or doesn't provide the service information that the provider can make an intelligent decision. You can't even read the user agreement. Failing to provide adequate notice before you drop someone, giving them a reasonable explanation or getting them a chance to be heard. Otherwise, it's not a public platform. We, the people, paid for it, but we have corporations controlling, supposedly, people on this public platform. So this is going to end all of that, but this is way, 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 way bigger than that. Remember, he has called on all 56 federal agencies, all of them, to come up with the dirt on these people, to come up with any money we pay them so we can stop, to come up with any law that they have broken so we can go after them, and to come up with...
And literally, that's what, by the way, that's what we've asked for in the Miller Act notice.
And he also points out that he wants to know the type of legal actions that can be skirted around so that he can take executive actions instead of go to court. He's called on the National Telecommunications Information Administration, the Secretary of Commerce, the FCC, the FTC, the DOJ. There's nobody he hasn't called on to go after these people. And everybody, everybody knows their crimes, because all you had to do was be slightly awake. So this isn't about...
You need to point out that the company, the organizations he's called on to do this are in fact co-conspirators in the exploitation of this technology. So this is an interesting balancing act. And I think there we have called that right. The reason they're continuing to be co-conspirators is because they are still heavily influenced by the senior executive service. These Obama stay behinds that are sabotaging instructions once they get out of the political tier at the top. And I think there what needs to happen, we've said this before, I think the folks in the senior executive service need to have their pay cut back to a dollar so they'll leave. And then he can get some people in there that'll be loyal employees.
Absolutely. And he insinuates that in so much of this. This document is one of the most beautiful executive orders I've ever seen, because it's so broad. It's so encompassing. It points out that if they broaden, it even says how they can broaden 230 so that they stop surveillance, they stop targeting, they stop perception management, they stop behavior modification. Brainwashing, essentially, that's what this is. This is brainwashing. And if they want to represent the Communist Party, then they need to be considered foreign agents. And we need to close them down if they continue to lie. We'd close down Sputnik or RT if they lied, and they're monitored for every word they speak. We need to monitor these new publishers, because they're no longer platforms. You just count on it. And then you can count on the 16,000 responses that he talked about in the first 2 weeks of opening up the URL for people to make complaints about being demonetized and deplatformed. No. There are 60,000 of those. The DOJ is gathering them up. The DOJ, it says right in this executive order, is going to write basically a determination that everyone can use then in their lawsuit, their personal lawsuit against these people who deplatformed them. Many of these people were making tons of money, and out of the blue, because they were for Trump, they were demonetized, deplatformed, and in some cases, in a way, kind of corporately doxed. They were doxed. They were stopped. So what we have said here is absolutely critical. This is the moment that we may see the big change. This is the moment we've been waiting for. We believe, at least here at the Conclave, we believe this. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to all your people and get their response, because this is not really what you would have wanted. What you would have wanted is just take the big step. Let's just expose the whole thing. That would have been great. But at this point, this is a first step.
Okay. This is a good first step. Don't get me wrong. But, and what I've wanted, they've asked for in this document, they've asked for exact contracts with all these groups that allows our... us to refine our damages number. So I like this. I like this document. But we need to point out all the problems in implementing this document. And one of them you mentioned earlier is they've asked the DOJ to do this and asked the DOJ to do that. Well, what have we just been through the last 3 years? We've seen that the DOJ is corrupt from top to bottom. So how all of a sudden are they having a come to Jesus meeting and they're going to start representing us again? I don't think so. And then we know that the DOJ, 500 people in the DOJ pay the bill, pay the salaries of the 9,000 or 10,000 in the senior executive service. So what we see is a massive amount of conflict of interest. So to what extent is the DOJ going to actually do what this document is talked about? We now know that these bureaucrats are skilled at taking whatever a political appointee says and spinning it out of all recognition. And what we've got to do as citizens is make sure that that doesn't happen with this, and that all these agencies that are called upon to do this work are not just going to sabotage it like they've done before, and they know how to do well.
Well, the crux of the matter was election. When Trump said vote by mail could be corrupted, that blew their minds, and then that caused them to stick their neck on the chopping block. Well, this is about the next election. This is about Trump. This means Trump will use every single presidential power in his bag, and he will keep it out of the courts. He'll keep it out of the senior executive service. He will simply work it from the White House, because from the White House, this is an attack upon elections and election corruption. There's all kinds of ways to go after that from a federal point of view. And we're already seeing that. And so we're seeing that the election corruption is crumbling. We're seeing that these fake Silicon Valley cardboard cutouts are all dissing their own companies and jumping ship. And we've also seen that Trump has made this fantastic step, and that they made the huge error, if it was an error, to attack the president during an election time and say that he's wrong, when Joe Biden, who can't open his mouth without making without lying, everything he says is a lie. You'd have to fact check everything. You'd spend your entire day fact checking Joe Biden and the other Democrats. How about let's fact check Nancy Pelosi before it goes out on her Twitter, or before it goes out on Facebook or anywhere? No. So what this is going to be is, this is a battle to the end. If Trump is putting everything on the line for this, because it's about the election. And since they went after him during the election, saying that the Russians meddled for the sake of him, he can now turn the tables on them, and everybody is all prepared for what would happen if it really did happen. And who meddled in the election of 2016 more than anyone? That would be Google, Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of the social media. So I'm glad that it is a step forward. I hope that it leads to the bigger steps that reveal the kind of truth that you were talking about throughout this entire broadcast. So thanks for going over this with us, and thanks for doing the research to show that good old Russell Vought is the man there who's making sure that one individual can stop the whole stream of truth coming through. And thank you for persisting for 20 years fighting these people on a level where you are literally face to face with some of these people, toe to toe. And you've put it all on the line. So I hope that this is a day for a bit of vindication for your efforts.
It is. It's a good start.